In the new book, Robert F. Kennedy, Ripples of Hope, Carrie Kennedy pays homage to her father's life and legacy through incisive interviews with heads of state, business leaders, influencers, and activists. Inspired by his enduring message of healing divisions through social justice and compassion. This year, of course, marks the 50th anniversary of RFK's assassination. The volume is a testament to his accomplishments, as well as an urgent clarion call in a time of great political and social upheaval. Carrie Kennedy is the president of Robert F. Kennedy Human Rights. Again, the name of the new book is Robert F. Kennedy, Ripples of Hope, and it is a pleasure to welcome Carrie Kennedy to the roundtable this morning.
Great to be on.
Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Great to be on with you. Thank you.
When you start a project, when you started this project and deciding to look at, have conversations with a wide range of people, what was the original idea of what you wanted to accomplish in doing that?
Well, I thought there are many biographies of my father out there, and I didn't want to repeat that. I was really looking at what's his values and vision, how do we apply those to the issue we face as a country today? And what will they mean in the next 50 years? So this is really a book not about looking back, but looking forward. And then I want to interview people who had been had an impact on our country and who consider Robert Kennedy their hero. So it's, you know, it's been right. It's got Joe Scarborough and, of course, Bill Clinton and Obama. It's got people from the private sector like Tim Cook and Howard Schultz, and then people in entertainment like Bono, George Clooney, those who knew him like John Lewis and Marion Wright Edelman, and others who didn't like Soledad O'Brien, Van Jones, and others.
In doing a project like this, do you learn about your father, even though, as you say, so much has been written? You have obviously done your own.
Well, there were a few things. There were a few stories that I learned about him that I didn't know before. For instance, Marion Wright Edelman told this story after going to Mississippi with my father to the Delta in 1967, and she came back and expressing her frustration with the lack of progress through litigation in Congress. My father said, well, you know, most people in Congress just don't know poor people. You need to bring the poor people to Washington. And so Marion left that meeting, went down and saw Dr. King. And Dr. King said, great, let's do it, and spent the rest of his life organizing the Poor People's Campaign, which, of course, we just had the 50th anniversary of. And when, you know, when my father died, the funeral was at St. Patrick's Cathedral, and then we brought him on a train from New York down to Washington, and there were people on both sides of the train tracks, black and white, young and old, rich and poor, all colors of the rainbow, there mourning his loss. Thurston Clark tells this amazing story about a bride and her bridesmaids throwing their bouquets at the train tracks. Wow.
Right.
Very, very, very powerful. And then we got to Washington, and we put Daddy into the funeral cars, the Corsage, and we drove him to Arlington Cemetery, but we drove past Resurrection City, which is where the poor people were staying for the Poor People's Campaign. And they all came out and sang the battle hymn of the Republic, which was, you know, a song very closely associated to him. And now it's his last stop on the way to Arlington Cemetery. So it was really sort of beautiful to hear Mary tell that story, that my father, it was actually his idea. I wasn't aware of that.
So talk a little bit about your personal memories, and do these just go to kind of bolster those memories, or and fill in some of the gaps, or do those personal memories just sort of overtake everything else?
Well, you know, Mike, I remember as a kid, my father was very present. He wasn't a Don Draper type of 1960s dad. He was very engaged with the kids. I remember we had battles growing up. I had 7 brothers and 3 sisters. And one day in particular stands out. I was playing World War II with my brother Michael in our tree. And Michael was a little bit older and a better aim. It was the Americans at the top of the tree. And I was the Germans trying to take over the fort from below. And he was throwing magnolia pods at me, which look like hand grenades but feel like stones that they hit your head. And I took one hit too many, and I scrambled out of the treehouse and ran up to my father's study, and, you know, with my tears going dice and my white bow askew, and said, "Michael's throwing rocks at my head." And my father said, "Well, go get him." And so I went, and I was like, "Justice will be done. The Attorney General of the United States of America wants to see you in a soft now." And up we went, and my father said, "Now, Michael, you be quiet, and Carrie, tell me what happened." And I told the whole sorry saga. And he said, "Now, Carrie, you don't interrupt, and Michael, tell me what happened." And the message he had for our kids, for us kids, was the message he had for our country, which is, peace is not something to pray for, but you're responsible for making it. And we have to have a system of justice that everybody believes in. And you've got to stop thinking about your adversaries as your enemy and start thinking about them as your brothers and sisters. And then he always made us kiss and make up and go to our rooms and read for an hour. And so I think part of his message is go to your room and read for an hour. All things that our country would do well to follow today.
Carrie Kennedy is the author of the new book, Robert F. Kennedy, Ripples of Hope. What does the 50th anniversary of your father's death mean to you personally and to the family? Obviously, a lot is being made in the media and people talking and many, many books that are out there and discussing many different issues surrounding your father and his legacy. But what does it mean to you and to your family?
Well, you know, it's a very personal time to think back about my father and to share with the next generation. My father was had 10 children. My mother was pregnant at the time that he died. All of those kids have gotten married. They're grandchildren. They're great-grandchildren. So there's a large number of us now. But when I think about this anniversary, I'm not really so much looking back as looking forward. My question is, what are his values and vision, and how do we apply those to the issues we face as a country today? You know, in the preface to the book, Thurston Clark talks about Robert Kennedy's moral imagination. And that's really what saved us from nuclear annihilation during the Cuban Missile Crisis. It was his capacity to understand that Khrushchev, even though Khrushchev was talking about war, really wanted peace. And Khrushchev was being pushed, just as Jack was being pushed to war by our military-industrial complex. Khrushchev had the Soviet military-industrial complex pushing him to war. But it was that ability to understand where the other is coming from that allowed us to have peace during that time of crisis. And it was that same capacity that protected Indianapolis after Martin Luther King was killed. When Daddy went and spoke to a crowd of 1,000 people in the Largan American district of the city, many came and they hadn't heard about Martin Luther King, and they were in the front of the crowd. And but others in the back of the crowd had heard that Martin Luther King had been killed, and they came with Molotov cocktails and bicycle chains, and they were ready to riot. And my father said, for those of you who are moved towards hatred by the injustice of this act, all I can say is I understand those feelings because I had a member of my own family killed. Now, try and imagine a politician standing up before a crowd that's ready to riot and saying, I understand your feelings.
Right.
Just think about that. And then he said, what we need in the United States is not violence. What we need in the United States is not division. What we need in the United States is not lawlessness. Compassion towards one another, and compassion towards those who still suffer in our country, whether they're white or they're black. That's the message we need today. We need that message. And what happened in Indianapolis is it was peaceful that night. 125 other cities across our country burned that night. Our country is divided more now than we've been since 1968, in the last 50 years. We need a message of compassion and love and peace. We need Bobby Kennedy's message more than ever.
Kerry Kennedy is our guest. The name of the book is Robert F. Kennedy, Ripples of Hope. Your father, and you write about this and talk about it with many of the people in the book, about his legacy and the ability to connect with so many divergent groups. And that really is something that comes through of the ability to go out and to find people of all walks of life, of all backgrounds, and to communicate with them, and that's leadership, right? I mean, that is bringing people together for a common good.
Absolutely. And he did that again and again across our country. He was able to unite people. A lot of the people who were there in the funeral, who were there lining those tracks, had voted for George Wallace in 1964, voted for my father during the primaries, and went out and voted for George several months later when he ran as an independent for president. So he brought together people, black and wild, rich and poor, at a time when our country was truly divided. And he was one of the few political leaders in our country who was able to do that.
You also talk in the book about the understanding that he has had with young people. And we're seeing this now as far as young people using their voice and speaking out. Again, we saw this much to great effect in the late 60s. What do you think, and through your conversations, did you get out of your father's ability to be able to connect with young people and give them the encouragement that is so often needed to speak their mind?
Well, you know, my father made a point, our country and around the world, of meeting this. So he wherever he went, for instance, when he traveled abroad, he went to university campuses. Now, in the 60s, these were hotbeds of activity, protests, and sometimes violent protests. And the State Department invariably discouraged him from doing so. But nonetheless, he met with college students and community organizers in Japan, Indonesia, Brazil, Colombia, Peru, across Latin America, and then across Africa. He believed that our hope for the future was among youth. I think we're seeing that in the United States today, and I have to say it was so proud last week when we presented Robert F. Kennedy Human Rights Award to the DACA students who are working on immigration issues, to the Native Americans who are working who led the protests on Standing Rock and the Dakota Access Pipeline. The Color of Change, young activists, mostly African Americans, about a million strong, who are working incarceration, and to, of course, the Parkland students working on gun violence. So, you know, the Women's March was, two of the three organizers were under 30 and working actually out of Harry Belafonte's office here in New York City. So you see all these movements of young activists saying, we will not stand the world that you are handing us, and we're going to create a more just and peaceful world. I think that my father would be very encouraged by that.
It's obviously it's impossible to know for sure, but you have to wonder, I would think, of what your father would make of the current political situation we're in now, and the great strides that have been made since the late 60s, and how so much of that seems to be reversed in a rather short period of time.
Well, all you have to do is go watch a couple of episodes of the first episodes of Mad Men to appreciate how far we've come as a country. I mean, it was a bad time to be a woman. It was a bad time to be black. It was a bad time to be anybody but a wealthy white man. And even they weren't doing very well in the 19th. So I think that my father would be happy to see that a lot of progress has been made. Nonetheless, he really spent that 1968 campaign focused primarily on two issues. One is healing divisions within our country, and two is facing poverty issues. And I think that we are more divided now than we've been in the last 50 years. If Daddy had become president, for sure he'd have ended the Vietnam War immediately, and that would have saved thousands of Vietnamese lives and thousands of American lives. We would have avoided Watergate. We would have avoided Nixon's Southern strategy, where he sought to political control, exploiting racism. And that was exploited further by Ronald Reagan, and then that was the entire campaign of Donald Trump, is dividing people. The cheapest, easiest way to get elected is by appealing to people's fear and anger and hatred, and that's what Donald Trump did. That's what George Wallace did, and that's what Donald Trump did. And my father was the opposite of that. It's the most impossible way to actually run a government, because you could get elected that way, but then once you're in government, it falls apart. And that's why Donald Trump is so ineffective as a president. But I think my father would be dismayed to see those divisions being exploited, especially since he knew how dangerous that was for our country and our world.
You have a conversation in here with
Hello?
Yes. You have a conversation in here with Matteo Renzi, the leader of the Democratic Party of Italy, who was prime minister between 2014 and 2016. And there's a part of the conversation that just struck me because it's, in the news today. But you're talking about the younger generation now, and a different generation. And he speaks specifically about Justin Trudeau and Emmanuel Macron, and that is a different generation. But we see how that generation is being treated by this particular administration right now.
Yes. Well, I think, you know, one of the quotes I love from my father, everybody loves progress, but change is its motivator, and change has its enemies. And, you know, I think Donald Trump's wants to bring us back to a world that never existed, or even worse, a world that actually did exist 50 years ago. And I think Macron and Trudeau are about the future. They're not about the past. And they are trying to figure out how to create a more just and peaceful world. How do we protect ourselves from global warming? How do we deal with global poverty? And those are all issues that are not on Donald Trump's agenda. So I think that it's no big surprise that there's tensions there. I also think it's important for people around the world to understand that America is in fact a divided nation, and that we don't all support Donald Trump, and that there's a large swath of our people who are deeply concerned about the direction in which our country is going and are determined to create change in the future.
Kerry Kennedy's new book is Robert F. Kennedy, Ripples of Hope. Kerry Kennedy in conversation with heads of state, business leaders, influencers, and activists about her father's impact on their lives. It is published by Center Street. Kerry Kennedy, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is Robert F. Kennedy, Ripples of Hope. It is published by Center Street. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.